When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's The Crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Brame.
Crossover! Step back!
Right here on 960theref.com.
All right, what is up, Athens, or wherever you are listening to this podcast, because it is a podcast and you can listen to it wherever you want. This is The Crossover here on 960theref.com. Sam Franco, Chris Brame, back at it again. And we've got a lot to get to today, a lot involving Georgia football as the Dogs beat the snot out of Florida down in Jacksonville. We've also got the college football rankings to go over, and we'll hit the Falcons on the back end of this edition of The Crossover. But first things first, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party was certainly a party for Georgia fans.
Yeah, and what's strange about this season is, like, expecting Georgia to hammer these teams they're playing, and then Georgia actually goes out there and hammers these teams that they're playing. I mean, I've had the feeling for, like, 2 or 3 weeks that Georgia was going to go down there and we owed Florida one.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't blown them out since 1997. I mean, we've barely beaten them since then, like, what, 5 times or something.
Right.
And it just, you know, that to have this, like, real, like, confidence in the Dogs taking care of their business and then doing it. And, you know, now the same applies to this weekend against South Carolina. It's not even crossing my mind that they're going to come in here and beat the Dogs Saturday.
No, not at all. I mean, it just feels like Georgia's going to take care of business. Like you said, what are they, a 24.5-point favorite, I believe, at the time of this recording? I don't have any reason to think they won't cover that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of points, but there was one other game this year, the game at Vandy, that I liked Vandy and the points in that one, and Georgia went out there and just pummeled them. I mean, this is that classic definition of a trap weekend now with Auburn on deck coming off the Florida game, but, you know, Kirby Smart is hitting all the right notes with this team, keeping them focused every single week. They're maintaining that high level of focus every single week, and I'm not expecting any sort of real drop in that level, you know, coming up this Saturday against South Carolina. Really is a, and I know I don't want to get ahead and then, you know, get beyond the beatdown of the Gators, but, you know, Will Muschamp has done a nice job there now in a season plus. I just thought they'd be awful.
Yeah, and that game coming up this weekend is funny to me because it has the sort of background storyline of South Carolina thought that they were going to get Kirby Smart, or that they wanted to make a move at Kirby Smart. And so Georgia reacted, and they made a change and brought Kirby in, and it's obviously been very good for Georgia. I don't think Will Muschamp's been terrible at South Carolina. I mean, they only have 2 losses so far this season, so they're going to be coming into Athens thinking that they can come in and upset the Dogs and put sort of a damper on their dream season. But getting back to Florida for a second, I mean, it's just such a tremendous job by Georgia of – approaching the game in a good way, because Florida came into the game talking a lot of smack, you know, Georgia can't beat Florida and all that stuff you were hearing. And Chauncey Gardner was one of the guys who had kind of called Georgia out, saying that Jake Fromm only throws slant passes. Well, he threw a slant pass to DeAndre Swift, and Swift very quickly ran over Chauncey Gardner and knocked him out of the game. So a little bit of karma coming back to bite him there.
Yeah, it was crazy. Georgia threw 7 passes. Fromm was 4 out of 7 throwing the ball, and only 2 guys caught passes, DeAndre Swift and Javon Wims. But it was just the lead Dogs were Sony Michel. He had 6 carries and scored 2 touchdowns, and then Nick Chubb doing his thing too, and Georgia just ran at will against him. And yeah, I guess we talked about it last week. My sense of the talking that Florida was doing was, and
desperate.
And Georgia's, we've had our team that's been in that position too, where I think you hear guys that are chirping and talking, but it's out of really not believing that you're prepared or can really play with the team you're about to. So you're trying to convince yourselves that you can, or talk yourself into it. And I kind of felt all week that that's what you know, was happening in Gainesville and coming out of Florida, that, you know, those guys are like anyone else on the planet. If you'd been watching Georgia play up till last Saturday and watching Florida play till last Saturday, you had to have a pretty good idea that one team was miles ahead of the other one, and then it ended up playing out that way in the game. And they immediately went three and out with a drive that netted negative yards, and Georgia went right downfield and scored. And, you know, how many times had we seen that happen against Georgia in that game where it was Georgia that had the bad possession and then Florida would get down there and score first?
And I made a point to make that one of my talking points in my Sam 7 article this week, my game recap on 960theref.com. It was the perfect start. You had a three and out. You got a sack, which is something you hadn't done in the last two games. And then you go on to march down the field, score a quick touchdown. Jake Fromm's pass to DeAndre Swift that got Georgia down into the red zone was really nice because he had three or four Gators bearing in on him with the blitz, and he just dumped it off to Swift. He showed a lot of composure. And look, for a guy that only completed four passes, I make the comparison to a goalkeeper in soccer who has just been standing there all game, and say his team has been bossing the attack and the ball's been on the other side of the field. The keeper's really just been standing there the whole game. And then all of a sudden, a counterattack happens and he's got to be ready to go. That's kind of what Jake Fromm's had to do this season a lot, where he hasn't been asked to throw the ball a whole lot, but when he has been asked to throw the ball, he's done it well, and he's been ready to do it. And that's the thing. The pass to DeAndre Swift there to get him down into the red zone and now near the goal line where Nick Chubb had the six-yard touchdown run. The throw to Javon Wims. The other throw in the fourth quarter to DeAndre Swift where he dropped it on a dime, an absolutely perfect pass in between the linebackers and the secondary, and Swift got upended at the end of the play. But I'm just saying, for the guy to only have four completions, they were all very good completions. And if Georgia's going to continue to be able to pound the rock on teams, and you don't necessarily think that's going to happen in the hypothetical matchup against Alabama in the SEC title game, but if Georgia's going to be able to continue to do this against the teams they're playing right now, your South Carolinas, your Kentuckys, maybe your Auburn, then why would you need to throw the ball all that much? And Jake Fromm has to be ready to do it, but he doesn't necessarily have to throw the ball, you know, 20, 25, 30 times a game.
No, I mean, nothing has really changed from the from our ideas before the season even started about what was going to carry this this team and this offense. Even had Jacob Eason never gotten hurt and been the starting quarterback, that it was going to be the ground attack that had to lead the way, and that is what those guys are doing. But yeah, when Fromm has had to throw, or those moments when Georgia has wanted to throw, he has been he's been on the money and delivered. And you know, that goes all the way back to that first game of the season against Appalachian State when he came off the bench, wasn't expecting to play in that game. Eason got hurt, and from the get-go, he was just on target with his passes. He was prepared. He was ready to go, and he has been every game, since then. So it is. Everything is just absolutely clicking with this team. And the thought of, what was it? Georgia had run eight plays Saturday and scored three touchdowns. Right? They were up 21-0, and it was pretty much just another game. Before you even get to halftime, you just got the sense, I mean, the game's already over. Because if watching that game, it just didn't feel like Florida's just not going to score. And I can't. I mean, I've had that feeling now against Mississippi State, Tennessee, and then last, that's the third time this year I've watched the first half of a Georgia game and said to myself, I don't think the other team's scoring. And it in the end, I guess they punched in a garbage time touchdown, but really in those three games, it just they didn't score. None of those teams did.
Right. So Georgia has just been bossing their opponents and taking them out of what they want to do, and doing exactly what the Dogs want to do. That's the thing. I mean, that's how you win football games. You make the other team uncomfortable, you make them abandon their game plan, and you execute your game plan to perfection. And that's what Kirby Smart has been preaching. It's execution. You've got to execute what the plays that are being called are. And that's what Georgia's been doing, whether it's on offense or defense. They've played great assignment football. They haven't let any quarterback really get comfortable. And I mean, Felipe Franks is a guy that we've been told before the game, you got to watch it because he can get out of the pocket and make some things happen with his legs. Didn't happen on Saturday.
No, Georgia's handled those mobile quarterbacks all season, starting with a really scary – well, I mean, the first game of the season with Taylor Lamb. That
right.
was a scary one there. In fact, I mean, as it turned out in that game, Appalachian State's best plays were Taylor Lamb runs. So then you carried over to that next week against Notre Dame where you think, all right, well, here's another one of those mobile quarterbacks. And then Notre Dame's longest run, they came off of that game against Temple. They had 300-yard rushers, and then their longest run against Georgia was for 8 yards. So Georgia's done a masterful job handling those, you know, running quarterbacks, which have given, you know, Georgia, you know, trouble, you know, throughout recent history. But, you know, a lot of college defenses struggle to stop those, you know, running quarterbacks, but not Georgia, not this season. And, you know, it just is, it's a good feeling to have now to sit on that, you know, that Florida series and to think a year from now going down to Jacksonville and realizing, you know, we beat these guys 42-7, and you don't have to have that same, you know, feeling of dread hanging over that trip down there. Although, I mean, you know, they do have a coaching vacancy now, so, you know, there is the potential they could hire a really good coach. That does have me a little nervous. I'd have preferred they just kept Jim McElwain.
Yeah, that would have been nice, but unfortunately, Florida, much more reactionary than Tennessee, which is a little strange that Florida, whose coach got them to the last two SEC championship games and won the SEC East both years, gets fired. And Butch Jones, who has failed to get his team to the SEC title game, still has his job. I mean, it's not like they're going to keep him after this season, and they may fire him midseason. We don't know. But it's just very strange that Florida went ahead and made their move while Tennessee's just kind of sitting there twiddling their thumbs.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like there's, you know, you read some stuff coming out of Knoxville, like there is definitely a chance he could be back next season.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy to me. Now, I mean, I'm all for it. You want to keep Butch Jones there? Boom. As a Georgia fan, I welcome that. But, you know, you look at them, they're a 6.5-point favorite at home against Southern Miss. You would have to think if they lost at home to Southern Miss, if they lose again to Vanderbilt, which this year I believe that game is in Knoxville, that, I mean, he's not going to survive that. I mean, maybe it is one of those things. They'll sit back and, hey, if Tennessee ends up winning out, as bad as it looks right now, but if somehow he can get that team to rally and not quit and still fight for him, they'll give him another year.
But here's a problem for Tennessee, and maybe they are thinking that they just want to sit and let all the cards kind of fall where they may, because if there's as many job openings as there could be in the SEC, Arkansas possibly, Texas A&M possibly, you know, there's, and not just the SEC either. I mean, there's jobs all over the country that could be
UCLA,
open.
UCLA, I think, is going to come
gonna
open.
Be open. Maybe Tennessee's sitting there thinking, we would rather make a coaching change when we're the hottest job on the market and not, you know, behind all these other schools. Because a lot of people would say Texas A&M's a better job than Tennessee. A lot of people would say, you know, Florida's definitely a better job than Tennessee. UCLA's probably a better job than Tennessee. So with all these schools opening up, maybe Tennessee's like, well, we won't be able to get the hot commodity coach, whereas if they waited, maybe they would.
Sure.
I still don't think you should do it that way.
No, because, I mean, as we sit here every year, it's just these – you have no idea what jobs are going to come open from 1 year to the next. I mean, again, like earlier this month, the favorite to be the first coach fired in the SEC by a large margin – was Butch Jones. In fact, Jim McElwain was 25-1 to be the first head coach fired. Nobody saw Florida all of a sudden firing Jim McElwain. I mean, we could look at how the Gators are playing this season, and so, you know, I could see where they might be disgruntled, but, you know, I think it would have, it felt more like it was a situation they'd get through this year, and then next year McElwain would be, all right, he's on the hottest seat in the country now. He better win this season, and all of a sudden he's gone. So, now, I mean, I guess if you're Tennessee, yeah, I mean, I get that, where you look at, it's a crowded market then, and if you've got to try and compete for a head coach against the likes of Texas A&M, UCLA, potentially, and Florida and whatnot, maybe financially you don't think you're in a position to do that, because, I mean, I think they might still be paying Derek Dooley, and then they'd be on the hook for whatever buyout Butch Jones is owed. But, you know, if you sit there and wait till next year and think, well, we might be the hottest team next season, who knows, maybe next year then USC comes open again, because, I mean, they've had a disappointing year after being ranked in the top four in the preseason, and they're not, I mean, they might not even win their division. I think they're going to lose Saturday to Arizona.
Yeah, that is a very possible. And Arizona, by the way, only has two losses, so they've made a change of quarterback, and they look like they've started to get things rolling. So it's been an interesting season. The Dogs will host South Carolina this weekend. As the number one team in the country, Brain,
yep.
The college football playoff
poison, Sam,
came out, and Alabama, number two, to Georgia's number one. You have Notre Dame checking in at number three, and Clemson at number four. And it's weird, because Clemson four, I think Oklahoma 5, Ohio State 6. And it's almost like the committee was like, well, we can't put Oklahoma ahead, we can't put Oklahoma in that four spot because they have probably their loss isn't great, but we can't put Ohio State ahead of them because they lost to Oklahoma. So you're arguing that, and so maybe they're like, well, we'll just put Clemson in there.
Right, but of course, last year they put Ohio State in there, even though they had lost to Penn State, and Penn State ended up winning the conference. So that's never stopped the selection committee before, but maybe, you know, they just want to try and avoid being criticized too much. They'll wait till the very end of the season and then put slide Ohio State in there ahead of Oklahoma. Yeah, I mean, look, and the thing is, and I know – anyone listening to this is most likely a Georgia fan, so I don't think anyone's in disagreement with the Dogs being the number one team in the country right now, but anyone that is, you're just crazy. I mean, Georgia's got the best resume out there. They've beaten Notre Dame and they've beaten Mississippi State. Yeah, I mean, there's some schlubs that Georgia has beaten too, but anyone that thinks Alabama should be ranked number one, you're just basing that off of the last 10 years. Yeah, they've been the preeminent college football program in the country and the dominant team. But this team this year now, their best win is arguably, there are some computer rankings out there that have Fresno State as the highest ranked team that Alabama has beaten. All right, so Fresno State, Colorado State, and then Texas A&M. Now, there are some that say A&M is the best, but if we want to say A&M's in the SEC West, that's the best team Alabama's mm-hmm. beaten, fine. We'll say that. Texas A&M's the best team Alabama's beaten. There's no doubt the second best team Alabama's beaten is either Colorado State or Fresno State, though.
Yeah, it's just that's the thing. The resumes for this year, Georgia's is way better than Alabama's right
yeah,
now. That's why they're number one.
Right. I would argue based on what the teams have done up to this point, Alabama shouldn't even be in the top four. And the only reason they are right now is because they're Alabama. I get it.
Notre Dame's resume is better than Alabama's.
Yes. Penn State's is. Even though Penn State lost a game, they lost by 1 point at Ohio State. But they've beaten Michigan. They've beaten Iowa. They've beaten Northwestern. Mm-hmm. That's better than anyone Alabama's beaten.
No, I agree with you there. So the ranking's certainly interesting. And look, it is very inconsequential. I mean, it means nothing right now that Georgia's number one other than the fact that the committee decided to put them number one because their resume's better than Alabama's. It's going to play itself out throughout the rest of the year. Can a one-loss Georgia with that one loss being in the SEC title game to Alabama get in? That's the big question. I think, quite frankly, a one-loss Georgia whose loss is not in the SEC title game has a much better chance. Like if they lost to Auburn but then beat Alabama, obviously they're in.
Yeah.
But if they were to lose to Alabama in the SEC title game, that certainly makes things more interesting, particularly with Notre Dame being involved. Because one conference champion is going to miss out regardless.
Yeah, we need Miami to beat Notre Dame in a couple of weeks.
Right. Or just beat Alabama. I mean, that is what cures all.
I mean, the easy is just you win, you take care of your own business, you're fine. But, you know, there's when you start looking at the top four teams right now, to me the easiest schedule remaining is Clemson's. You look at Georgia still has to play at Auburn. I mean, South Carolina's pretty good, too. I mean, I don't think Georgia's going to lose the game, but they're South Carolina will be a better win than any that Alabama has after Saturday. And then they'd have to potentially beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, too. Notre Dame still has to go to Miami in a couple of weeks. They still have to go to Stanford, so they're going to have some chances to maybe take a loss before the season's over. So, I mean, right now, the top four, I mean, to me, Clemson has the easiest path. I know they play NC State this weekend, but Florida State is terrible, and they look like they've quit. I mean, they lost 35-3 to Boston College last week. So, potentially for Clemson, they get to the ACC title game again. There's either going to be a rematch with a Virginia Tech team that they've already drilled in Blacksburg, or, you know, a Miami team that if they get there and somehow hang on and arrive there, I mean, let's face it, Miami's undefeated, but they look like they should have like three losses already.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm right there with you. So they have definitely been a little lucky in some of these games, no question about it. But right now they're right where they want to be, I guess, maybe a little lower or more lowly ranked than they would want to be. But I think for a Miami, for a Wisconsin, well, maybe not so much for Wisconsin because their schedule's been so bad, but if you're Miami and you win out, you'll be in the playoff. I mean,
yeah, an undefeated ACC champ is going to get in there.
Right, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. You know, they'll have a chance to play Clemson and an ACC title game, and that'll work itself out. That's the thing I'm trying to preach here. Everything's going to work itself out. There's no need to overreact or underreact to Georgia being number one right now. Georgia being number one right now means two things. One, they're the number one team in November. Two, they've had a great season up to this point. Those are what the that's what it
sure.
means.
And to me, it's just it's fun to see Georgia as the number one ranked team in the country. But if Georgia had checked in last night, not in the top four, had they checked in number two, three, four, one of those, it wouldn't matter. If Georgia, I mean, I think we all know if Georgia gets to Atlanta and wins the SEC title, if they got there undefeated and lost a close game to Alabama on a neutral field, they've got a lot of paths into that playoff, regardless of where they were ranked last night. But, you know, what these teams have done so far this season, Georgia's got the most accomplished resume, the most impressive resume, and they deserve to be number one. And I get it. I mean, Kirby wants to try and talk about, you know, blocking out the noise. Don't get caught up in that stuff.
It's keep rat poison.
Yeah, it's rat poison and all that stuff. In fact, you need to convince your players of that. Do it. But this stuff means an awful lot to Georgia fans. And, you know, the very first college football playoff rankings that came out, I guess, 4 years ago now.
Mississippi State was the number one.
Mississippi State was number one. Auburn was number three. And Ole Miss was number four.
None of those teams made the playoff.
Correct. There were three. In fact, in the every year so far of these rankings, one of the teams in the initial top four has lost its next game. Now, granted, two times they played each other. The first year, Ole Miss and Auburn were in the top four. Then they played that next week.
Right.
The next year, LSU and Bama were both in the top four. They played that next week. Last year, though, it was Texas A&M that came in number four, and then they got blown out by Mississippi State. So, I guess be on the lookout for one of these teams this week that's in the top four if history holds there.
Hey, you want to know what the number one song in the country was last time Georgia was ranked number one? This was back in 2008 when Georgia had come off of that tremendous 2007 season and had a lot of hype going into the season in 08.
Yeah, I was in the preseason.
Yes. The number one song in the country was...
In 2008?
Whatever You Like by T.I.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Stacks on deck, Patron on
ice. You can
ice.
Have whatever you like.
Yes. Yeah. And that we were listening to that earlier on the morning show, and it's like... That's crazy. I think it's all that far back.
Hey, that song holds up, though.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. It absolutely holds up. We were listening to it on the morning show this morning, but it's unbelievable that you have to go that far back. But Georgia is number one right now. Kirby Smart has gotten Georgia to this spot, and a lot of people think that this is just going to keep rolling for years and years here.
Yeah, but like I saw like last night there, which would be, depending on when you're listening to this, at Tuesday night, the night the...
Right, we are recording on Wednesday, right. Releasing on Thursday.
So it was the night that the rankings came out. And I know the official Twitter feed of Georgia tweeted, I think it was like, ignore the noise.
Yeah, it was the football account that said ignore the noise, and it was like a video that went along with it.
Yeah, and listen, this means a lot to your fan. I mean, I think most fans realize it's the first rankings, and it's ultimately not a big deal, but it is cool to see Georgia at the top of the heap. And so, you know, stop with the rat poison nonsense and ignore the noise in this. This means a lot to fans. I could, for me personally, as a Georgia fan that realized the first time these rankings came out, we saw Mississippi State number one.
Mm-hmm.
Both schools in Mississippi were in the top four. Auburn was in there. We've seen Clemson play for the last two national titles. This is like special to be right here at this point. Yeah, there's still plenty of work to do. There's a lot of heavy lifting still left to be done. But this is still something that even with as much that Georgia still has to get done, should absolutely be celebrated by Georgia fans.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. You want to celebrate. You want to celebrate the accomplishments that Georgia has this season up to this point. But no national title is won in October or November.
No. And if a national title ends up not getting won this season, heck, I mean, if Georgia ends up gagging this Saturday but somehow still gets to Atlanta, then, you know, loses that game, and it's, you know, for where Georgia is right now, yeah, it's going to be disappointing. But I think to have Georgia sitting right now number one, no matter how this season ends up playing out, at least gives you the sense and the feeling that things are definitely heading in the direction where Georgia will you know, we'll be in that playoff at some point sooner rather than later, and you know, and maybe even winning another national title.
Absolutely. So, Georgia, fans, just go out there and listen to whatever you like to celebrate being number one.
They should play that Saturday. It's the stadium.
They should. Yeah. Absolutely. That would be great. All right. Before we get out of here, we got to talk about the Falcons, who got a narrow win up in New Jersey, technically, against the Jets at MetLife Stadium. This game was pretty boring, I guess.
Well, it was ugly. It was sloppy because of the weather.
Well, the weather. And Matt Ryan, you know, lost two fumbles because of the snap, the center exchange between him and Alex Mack. And the one where the Falcons were going for two late in the game when they took the lead, and it was a fumble and they didn't end up getting the two-point conversion, Ryan was yelling.
Yeah, it looked like he was mad at Mack.
Yeah, he was mad at Alex Mack. And maybe it was just frustration through the game. I'm not exactly sure. But it definitely was a bad look for the Falcons to keep losing the ball and not being able to hold on to it. But it, like you said, weather was really bad. Not really a whole lot they could do. Bottom line, they won the game. And the Jets are improved this year. So getting that win is very important going forward. The Falcons will be in Charlotte this weekend, taking on the Panthers. That line opened at Carolina minus two. It has since dropped to 1.5. So it looks like the betting public might be with the Falcons on this one. But this is the Falcons' first division game of the year, and it's huge to go up to Carolina and get a win. You need to win these division games and put some distance between you and the division. That's what's key here, because this division looks like it might get a team into the playoffs at 10-6, 9-7. So if you can get the wins over the teams in your division, and Tampa's looking terrible this year, but if you can beat the Saints, you can beat the Panthers, you're going to set yourself up to be in a very good position at the end of the season.
Well, I mean, the Saints are the team everyone's chasing right now. They've won five straight games, and they look like they've got a little bit of that vintage look with Drew Brees and Sean Payton trying to make one last run. But the NFC's definitely opened up this year, and the Falcons, like you pointed out last week, if they beat the Jets, which they did, Atlanta would actually have the same record through seven games that they did a year ago at 4-3. So, if Atlanta can, somehow keep treading water, make it into the playoffs, you're going to have a postseason now. Where right now the number one seed looks like Carson Wentz in his second season. There's no Aaron Rodgers. The Packers are going to have a hard time making the play. The two seed right now would be the Vikings, who have Case Keenum starting at quarterback.
Right.
Lurking's the Seahawks still. They're 5-2. If you're an NFC team, you got to hope that they don't play a home game. And then the Rams, I guess, are leading that division. And they've got Jared Goff. So if Atlanta can make the playoffs with Matt Ryan, you'd like their chances, just having the veteran there and the experience against some newcomers into the postseason. But the Saints are the team that Atlanta's got to focus now on keeping pace with, and that's why you got to go to Charlotte and win.
Yeah. Here's the bottom line on the Falcons, though. They've got to get the running game going. 14 carries for 82 yards for Tevin Coleman wasn't terrible, but only 12 carries for 41 yards for Devontae Freeman. You get Devontae Freeman a lot of money, you've got to get that guy the ball and be able to get him into some good situations to gain some yards. He had one catch for 20 yards last week, but that's something that has to be way more consistent, is the running game. I mean, Matt Ryan had one of his better games of the year, throwing for 254 yards and two touchdowns with no interceptions. I mean, the fumbles were one thing, but this Jets defense is very good, and the Jets running game, I mean, with Bilal Powell, has been decent at times this year. So the Falcons shut that down, really tried to make Josh McCown beat them, and Josh McCown had about the same game as Matt Ryan did, but thankfully for the Falcons, they were able to come out on top. So do I think the Falcons are going to make a march to the Super Bowl this year? No. But can they make the playoffs? Yes. And getting that win up at MetLife Stadium against the Jets was vitally important, because there was a statistic I saw being floated around. No team has ever made the playoffs when they lose all of their games against one division, and not their own division.
Yeah, and especially when that division was the AFC East.
Right. But, I mean, that's the thing. The Bills are much improved.
Yeah, the Bills
that's a team
are pretty
that's
good.
Looking like they could make the playoffs. The Patriots are obviously the Patriots. The Dolphins' loss is inexplicable. I mean, that one's inexcusable, really. I mean, you should not have lost a game to a Jay Cutler quarterbacked team. But now,
when they led 17-0 at the half.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Falcons are really good at blowing leads, though.
Yeah, they are. they did them. They just didn't bother to get a lead against the Patriots this time, though. They played them.
No, they did.
Yeah. They got by. They tried it the other way. Let's fall way behind and see if we come back, but it didn't happen.
So, do they win in Carolina this weekend?
I'm going to say it's a coin flip, Sam. Kind of like the odds makers are.
I love that.
I mean, I think they could. I think Atlanta, it's that offense is. Clearly, it's missing some spark that it had a year ago, though. But the Panthers aren't. I was actually surprised they dominated Tampa last week. I know Tampa's, I guess Tampa is just terrible, but I mean, things have been kind of goofy up in Charlotte too with Newton.
That is very true. That has been a weird story to follow. So I do think the Falcons go up and win this weekend, and that for them sets up a very important rest of the season. I mean, it's obviously going to be important, but the key is they'll have that game against the Cowboys coming up on the 12th of November. Is Zeke going to play or not?
I guess he's not, right?
Well, he keeps appealing, and so right now he's under appeal, and it's just ridiculous at this point. It's like, can we figure out if this is a suspension or not? But I would like the Falcons hosting the Cowboys with no Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, because Atlanta's run defense is horrible.
Right.
Yeah.
So no Ezekiel Elliott? That would be great. All right, that'll wrap things up for this edition of The Crossover. Sam Franco, Chris Brame. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. Makes it easy for you to find every episode we upload. But, of course, you can always find us on 960theref.com and our social media pages, facebook.com/960theref and Twitter at 960theref. Hey, dogs on top actually mean something right now because the dogs are on top of the college football playoff rankings.
We want UGA. I want to see signs like that at game day Saturday.
That's right. Bama fans are going to be loud and proud with that one. But for Chris Brame, I'm Sam Franco. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another exciting edition of The Crossover.
You've been listening to The Crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Brame on 960theref.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.